And
whether
I wanted
he likes
to,
it or not.
Yeah. And so I want to tell you, here in our pulpit for almost 25 years and involved in our church for almost 30, he's a guy that could just sit back and relax. And he is not doing that. He's going to talk to you this morning about his love for the Scriptures. And I see that all the time. And he has stepped up his game, I think, in the last 5 or 7 years to something that's been amazing. So I just want him to know I am so thankful for Neil. So
thank you, brother.
Take it, buddy.
And I'm thankful for Robin, and I'm thankful for our elders, you guys. I'm telling you, I often say to people, our elders are the best kept secret Northwest Bible Church. Man, I'm thankful to be here today, you guys. And I want to show you something here on the table. I procured these stickers for you guys. I was speaking at a men's breakfast out in West Texas somewhere. I don't know how they found 200 guys in West Texas, but there was like 200 guys there. It was incredible. But I saw this and I thought, I want this for us. Strong men need it. And y'all, I have kind of a little intro to my intro of my little talk here. But I wanted to give you this today, guys, because I really believe in this culture, strong men are needed. And, you know, whenever, if you say anything like that right now, somebody's going to say, well, what is that? What is it not, you know? And I want to say, it doesn't mean you're a football player. It doesn't mean any kind of false machismo in my mind, any of that. But I do want to say a couple things on this, because I really do think it goes into what I'm going to ask us today. I really want to just push on our culture for about 3 minutes here and to say, men, you matter because you were made in the image of God. In the beginning, God created them male and female. And femaleness matters, and your maleness matters, and your physical attributes that are part of who you are because you are made in the image of God as a man, it matters. That's what the Bible says. And my great, great concern for you men, for myself, we live in a world right now, and the story you're living in every single day says this. You are irrelevant at best, and at worst, you're a very huge problem in the system. That's what you're being told every day, and that's what your sons and daughters are being told every day. And I just want to challenge that and say the Bible actually gives us a whole different story. And so, you know, to the question about when I say strong men are needed and I say that your maleness matters, I'm going to give you two words for that maleness, and I'm going to call it love and responsibility. If somebody asks you, like, people don't even like it if I use the word lead, so I'm not even going to use the word lead right now. I'm just going to give you two words, love and responsibility. And when if you want to think of Jesus came full of what? Grace and truth, love and responsibility. And I would say this, here's where I think the Bible is really, really clear. And why I say love and responsibility is, guys, as a man, in some kind of way, and I know it's different in so many contexts, but in some kind of way, the buck stops with us. That we ultimately have the responsibility in some kind of way when God says we're going to do some accountability, we're going to hold some people accountable, the buck stops with us. And I think that's clear in marriage and out of marriage, but it's nowhere more clear than when, you know, marriage is talked about in Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It really, the buck stopped with Jesus. And so that's why I say, guys, we actually really do have a greater responsibility. Love and responsibility, grace and truth. And it's why I want to talk today about this idea of eat the word. And y'all, I am very passionate about our values here at Northwest, and one is God's truth over opinion. And it even goes into thinking about what story am I living and what does the word say about me as a man. And I want you to know, I know a lot of you guys have heard me say 1,000 times, you know, read your Bible, but I hope this sounds even a little different than simply read your Bible when I say eat the word. Now, I want to pause and say, Robin, do you want to give out breakfast or do I keep going? Well, how many can smell the food right now? Just raise your hand. Perfect. See, we actually planned it like this. So while I'm talking about eating the word, you are thinking I'm really hungry, okay? So you guys, last time I spoke here, I showed a picture of me when I was, I think, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, and Chris remembers it. I was very, very skinny. Y'all, I wanted just to give you a little more of that story. I was constantly hungry. When I would get food in front of me, I would be mowing down that food. And I especially liked summertime because during the summer, my dad had an electronics and communications business that I worked in, and I had money, right? And often at lunch, we would go somewhere and buy lunch. And there was this po' boy shop in Louisiana that you could order this 12-inch po' boy. I mean, they would just stack it up with meat, but it wasn't enough. And I couldn't believe I did this. When I was 15, 16, 17, I would walk into a department store like Nordstrom's and start trying to work a deal with people on clothes and stuff. And I got deals all the time. I don't know how I did it. So I get to know these people at the sandwich shop, and I work a deal with them. I said, hey, can we just make a different sandwich here? And for my brother and I, they started making this 18-inch po' boy. And we would special order it, and it was Neil Tomba's deal. And I remember walking in the shop, and there was a guy there named Del Brown, not to be mistaken for our Del Brown. Del was this really, really, really old dude. He was like 62 years old. And Del would look at us like we were literally from another planet because of how much food we were eating. Y'all, I tell you that because during the school year, whatever was going on in my household, and I'm not even criticizing, it just was what it was, like nobody was really looking out for what I ate. And I was super picky, you guys. I really could not stand cafeteria food. And junior and senior year in high school, I never ate lunch. I never ate lunch. Sometimes I would eat a candy bar. So every time I was on the basketball team, every time I went to basketball practice, I was exhausted. When I would lift weights, not much would happen. And as I just reflected on that, guys, I want to say this. You don't get strong without eating. Amen. You don't build muscle without eating. You don't grow your muscular skeletal system without swallowing and processing and digestion and the whole thing of sugars and proteins working in your bloodstream. And so here's what I want you to do. And since I'm saying eat the word, if you have a Bible, or if you read your Bible on the phone, if you don't have one, it's okay. But I really actually want us to physically go to it. And I want to go to a verse I know some of you guys know. I want to go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. A man that God was calling. And y'all, I will tell you this. I actually think at that time, remember, God chose to do everything he did. Again, the story of the Bible, he chose to do everything he did in time, space, dimension, history. It wasn't an accident that at that time it was going to be no doubt that he was going to pick a man named Joshua to, and the buck was going to stop with Joshua to conquer the land to take over from Moses, right? And in Joshua chapter 1, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I don't think, y'all, that is actually talking about you need to keep speaking about the word. I think what God is saying to Joshua there is you need to keep eating the word. And here's what I said, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and that you might be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you're going to be able to carry out the great adventure that God was putting on you, Joshua. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And again, the Lord your God is with Joshua, connected to. How do I know? How am I in touch with that? How do I hear from him? How do I make sure he's the one who's giving me strength? You, Joshua, eat the word. Amen. Eat the word. Y'all, that even the idea of meditate. Guys, I want to try to put a different idea of meditate in your mind right now, and why I say eat the word than just like I'm sitting around in a chair. Okay, how many here have had labs? Any lab owners here? We've had a couple labs over the course of our time, and you know why I had labs, you guys? Because I had three daughters. And I believe the buck stopped with me for doing what I could do to protect my family. Veal and I talked about this recently because we are dog free right now and we're very happy about it. But we talked, and she's, because one of my daughters decided to have a puppy for a day. It lasted a day. And Veal said, she goes, Neil, you know what? When we had a dog, you were the one. The buck stopped with you with the dog. You were the one who fed the dog. You were the one who got up at night when it was a puppy. Da 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 da. But we had labs because I had three daughters, and I wanted that little extra protection for them as they were coming. So our lab, both of them were able to catch squirrels in our backyard. And whenever a squirrel was caught, I knew it because there was five new holes in my backyard. And my lab, when you would walk near his holes, would do this little, or whenever you gave him a bone, growl, chewing. That's the word right there. When I say eat the word, I'm saying it's like a dog with a bone, and you're just as much as you can. That's the picture. So I want to say four things, and today there's a little card on your table that you can grab. There's four questions on the card, and here's what we're going to do. I want to just go over this, and then when I get done, you can get breakfast and discuss the card. Is that what we're going to do, Robin? So let me say this, you guys. Sometimes people ask me this. They say, Neil, you're in such good shape for, you know, being 62. And now you know why I look like that, because I've always been skinny, and the only thing has changed, you know, I just gotten older and now it's in shape. Before, when I was in high school, I was too skinny, right? But, you know, sometimes I do, when like people say, what do you eat? I said, you know, a lot of times I eat stuff that isn't great, but here's my one diet rule. Don't eat crap. That's literally what I think. Don't eat crap. when I want to try to eat a little better. Don't eat crap, don't eat crap, don't eat crap. And I want to say, even as we enter into this eat the word, guys, you know McDonald's French fries are engineered, right? Do we all know this? They're like engineered so that when that French fry goes on your tongue, there are things that go off, little enzymes and stuff, and hit your brain, and you say, French fries. I got to eat more, I got to eat more, I got to eat more. It's funny, we're having Whataburger here. And then when it actually gets in your stomach, again, it is engineered as it's going down, and I could take this with any food, so that you would just want to eat more crap, eat more crap. And so I just want to remind us that everything that's coming at us, and I got to keep saying this, everything that is coming at us from all the sources, whether it's social media or whatever, it is engineered. It is engineered so that you get bloated on that and you don't want to eat the word. It's engineered. And it's why, as a man, strong man, needed, I want to take seriously, what am I feeding on? Because it's coming at me all the time. And y'all, I wasn't going to mention this today. And I'm throwing this in extra because when I was in Cuba just recently, the time before we talked about the cell phones, this isn't Cuba. They hardly have anything, but they got cell phones. And they said something, Neil, you're going to talk again about just the crap on the cell phones from pornography to whatever. And it's not just that, guys. But I said, no, I don't want to. They heard me talk about this before. They said, Neil, they did. You spoke to us super directly. There's of a group of 50, they said, there's three guys that aren't here this time because they had fallen because of the crap that was coming to them on their cell phone. So I actually know I can't say it enough to you, and I can't say it enough to me. So let me say four things to give you some stuff to talk about today, guys. The first is this. When I say eat the word, I want you to think of it this way. When you open up your Bible next time, when you hear preaching, when you're in a small group, I want you to think, I want to eat this stuff for life, okay? Eat it for life. And you'll notice on the little card there, I put this, quit collecting information. Yo, let me tell you, some studies have been done on this deal that now that we can jump on our computer, like I have a question, hey, what did God say to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, and I get on my computer and I can look it up real quick, or I need something for work, and instead of having had this experience built over time, I just look it up on the computer real fast. You know, studies have shown that this idea of I just grab information to kind of feel good about myself or look like I know what I'm talking about in front of you has created a deal where the information you're getting now impacts you less. Like the actual going in, digesting, it becoming a part of who you are is far less now. So even like when I'm using this Bible just kind of as information, I want to feel better about myself, I want to know something, I'm checking a list, I'm getting this in my head, it actually affects you far less. So when I say eat for life, here's what I'm thinking about. Jesus going to guys who had much of their Bible memorized, right? John chapter 5, Jesus says to guys who had much of their Bible memorized, the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. And then Jesus says this to them, his voice you have never heard. They had their Bible memorized, his voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have this word abiding in you. Wait. We've got lots of information. His word you do not have abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness to me, and you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So guys, I hope that every time we read our Bible, we're saying, I want to have life. I actually want this to bring me to Jesus. I'm not just doing this to get some more information. So the question there is, how would my approach to the Bible look different if I ate it for life? So guys, I want us to talk about that in just a minute. Let me say the next thing here. Eat for change. Eat for change. Man, you know, I really wish someone had said to me in high school, Neil, you're eating crap. Neil, you're lifting weights, you're wasting your time. If you're not eating in a way that you're really thinking, oh, I got to eat this, so I got to change. John 14:21, the scripture says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Guys, did you hear that? He who has my commandments and does what? Keeps them. Jesus says, that is evidence of your love for him, right? And then he says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you see the connection? You have commandments, you obey because you're eating for change, and it says this love thing happens with God, and then you get to know God. But if you short-circuit this thing here of the obeying part, you've short-circuited the whole deal. And guys, here's what I want to just say to you. Read your Bible in a way where you say, okay, God, what do you have for me for my life to be different today? Yo, here's something I thought about this for myself as I was getting ready for this, for us. I wonder how many of us are more clueless in life for a longer period of time than we need to be. More clueless in life for a longer period of time than we need to be. And anybody who's struggled in any kind of relationship, including your marriage, where somebody said to you, you're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're not getting it, until finally one day somebody says, okay, you got to go talk to the pastor with me, or some situation like that. And literally, somebody was telling me this story yesterday. Oh, yeah, I didn't see it until. And guys, if we're not obeying the word, we're going to stay clueless on things that we don't have to stay clueless on. So the question under this is, how would I read my Bible differently if I was looking to obey what I read? So you guys will talk about that. Let me go to this next one. Eat together. Read and talk about it with others. Hey, guys, okay, what's your favorite meal? Kevin, what's your favorite meal? Breakfast. Okay. Somebody tell me, if you could go eat anywhere right now, where would you go, Gardner? Chicken fried steak. He's already thinking about John. You got one neighbor, John, over there? Benny's Bagels. Okay. Somebody else? Bob's Steakhouse. Man. Now, you guys, I'll tell you, I have several different favorite places to go eat. I'll give you a list. You can take me there anytime. But, you know, one of my favorite places is this place called Gen Chi up in Richardson. I saw Jared there recently when Jared and I had this talk. But I never want to go to Gen Chi by myself. I always want to go with at least about 6 people, because we can try all kinds of different new things. I have an intern. His name is Andrew. Andrew is Asian, and I really like to go with Andrew because he knows everything to order. And you know what we do? We sit around, and part of the great joy of the experience is talking about what we're getting, what we like. Everybody's talking about it, and I'm learning for the next time. Guys, let me just remind us that this Bible was not first written for an individualistic American. It was written on a scroll, and somebody would get up to a church in Philippi, and they would start reading, hey guys, we got a letter from Paul. Let's listen up. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to the church in Philippi. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God from all my remembrance of you. And that was what would happen. And guys, here's the deal. I hope in your triads, in your small groups, and I hope you do it, like you actually talk about the word. Because here's what I know about everybody here. Even if you think, oh, yes, your group is not for me. One thing I know that everybody here, you find a small group. I bet there is, I can find out the small group that you're in, every man. Some of your small groups look like Texas A&M watching their football game together, right, with about three or four guys. And some of you, it's cycling, and you go with three or four guys, and you go ride your bike, and it's amazing the things you actually discuss there, right? I've said this before. It's fascinating how, where's Sam? I saw you, Sam. You know, it's amazing how, I remember when Sam got his new gravel bike a while back, how much we could talk about the derailleur and the wheels. It's a grown man talking about kids' toys. We're like experts at kids' toys. And here's what I just want to say, guys, is strong men are needed. And the buck stops with us. And you guys could lead by, when you're with some friends, saying, hey, I want to tell y'all something I read in the Word today, something I learned, I'm wrestling with, and could you tell me kind of what you think about this? And that's how God actually originally intended this Word delivered, that we would do it in that way. And so when you hear me say eat the Word, in a minute we're going to eat some food here, and I'm saying we're going to eat it together, that we would practice that. Now, let me give you one more, and I'm going to close so you can get your stuff here. The last one is eat it often. Eat often. On your little card here, I say have a plan. And guys, hang with me even if you think you have a plan. I have a desire to eat multiple times a day, okay? I actually have a plan most days in my mind of when I'm going to eat breakfast, what I'm going to do for lunch, what I'm going to do for dinner. You know what I've never said? I've never said, Neil, you need to not be so legalistic about eating. Never even thought it. Never thought it. And so when I have a plan, please don't run to, I don't want to be legalistic about it. I'm saying, guys, I want to eat. And you know what's even interesting? Some mornings, like if I've gone on a bike ride with Sam at 6 o'clock in the morning and I get home at about 10 and I'm like, Bill, I'm starving. Can we eat? And we eat a little, like we'll have a late breakfast together. And you know what? She really drives her nuts when 12 o'clock hits. I said, hey, what's for lunch? Can we eat lunch? We just ate 2 hours ago. I'm still hungry. I'm not being legalistic. I need to eat. So I have a plan, and I want to eat as often as I can. So guys, here's my question here on this is, what is one way you can plan to eat the Word more often in a way that maybe you're not even already doing? Let me close here by just saying this. There were some things that were set in my life that I didn't even realize when I came to Christ in college and I started just memorizing large chunks of the Word to try to get some other stuff out of my mind. And it hit me this week. I really think God has spared me and kept me from some sin because of just learning to eat something other than crap. Because some encouragement, some guys in college. And I hope we could do that for each other. So, Father, thank you for this moment with these guys. And I just pray now that we could at least just have a couple minutes of really encouraging one another in this idea of eat the Word. Okay, so, Robin, can we do this? Just say, guys, go get your food. What are y'all going to do? Okay, awesome.